before the feast, this recommended reading that we look again at tomorrow, What It Will Be Like, a book Mr. Armstrong wrote. On page 70, quoting from Mr. Armstrong, God began ensuring the efficiency and perfection of his world-ruling government by causing Abraham, Isaac, Israel, and Joseph to be trained during a lifetime in several basic essentials for top personnel in a government of perfection. Number one, right attitude, the correct frame of mind. Mr. Armstrong referred to 1 Samuel 16, verses 6 to 7 and 11 to 12, when Samuel was sent to anoint David and went through the succession of Jesse's sons. They were all fine, upstanding men. Each one made a good impression on Samuel, but each one was rejected. And they had to send to the field to get the youngest, who God did have Samuel anoint. God looks on the heart. These men were trained in submission to God and those over them in authority. It's difficult to say that with our experience over several years. We need to learn to be part of a team and to work under authority, but it must be the right authority. It must be aligned with God's way. It became quite a mantra in a former organization that you followed authority regardless. Rather like a fascist government, you will obey orders. It has to be submission to God, and we follow authority as that is under the authority of God. We're training in teamwork, in harmoniously working together, preparing for what's recorded in Revelation 20, verses 4 and 6. What I want you to turn to, though, is 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. This is the instruction King David gave to his son. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. And you, Solomon, my son, know you, the Lord of your father. Serve him with a perfect heart, with a willing mind. For the Eternal searches all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found of you. But there's a sting in the tail. If you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. It's not a game. We've been called to an incredible privilege, an incredible opportunity, but it's not a game. Secondly, continuing with what Mr. Armstrong wrote, trained in the knowledge of true values. Remember Proverbs chapter 9, the fear of the Eternal is the beginning of wisdom. A lot of people like to play down fear. Oh, it's reverence. A strict father, a straight, honest father who loves his son, will have a certain amount of fear from his children. Not panicky fear, but certainly a desire. The child will desire to obey because the consequences are severe. Our father is a loving father and will chastise us as required. Let's look at Deuteronomy. It's a very familiar scripture, but I think it's appropriate to go through it again in this context, talking about training and the knowledge of the true values. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 5 to 8. Moses, of course, talking, summing up 40 years experience, warning the people. I marked the Bible and I still can't find it. That's pretty good going, isn't it? Chapter 5, Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Eternal my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who is God so near unto them, as the Eternal our God is in all things that we call upon him for? We're not left without support. We've got a big job, a difficult job, but it's not unsupported. In fact, we can do basically nothing by ourselves. It's just the willingness to cooperate that we can provide. What nation is there so great that has such statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? We are training by living by every word of the Holy Bible. As the understanding came down to us through the end time apostles. Number three, Mr. Armstrong continued, trained in handling people, in wise management of people, and of wealth, without letting it turn their heads. We don't have huge opportunities in this area, but we do have budgets to administer. Even though the scale is different from these great men, we still have the opportunity to handle people and money in the right way. We have our own families to be responsible for. So although we sort of think, well, I don't have hundreds of employees, I don't have thousands of sheep, I'm not a multi-millionaire, but what we have, that is what we work with according to God's will and purpose. We have this incredible example in Genesis of Joseph. Genesis, I'd like you to turn to this one, please. This is absolutely amazing, showing, coming from what seems like nowhere, well, from prison. This is what Pharaoh said to Joseph in Genesis chapter 41, verses 39 through to 44. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has shown you all this, talking about the problems that were going to befall the world, there is none so discreet and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and according unto your word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. They could certainly do with the Joseph out there now. Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, put it upon Joseph's ring, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put on a gold chain, put a gold chain about his neck, and made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he was made, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And continuing in 44, Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without you shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And this was at the age of 30 years of age. But Joseph had been through many years of suffering and discomfort first. No matter what he did before this point, he was learning all the time, but he also was going through a difficult time. But obviously he stayed faithful. And God was able to work with him and through him save the age at that time, the world at that time, from a catastrophe. There was a sobering reminder that Mr. Armstrong recorded, not in the book I've been referring to. This is from the Good News of 1978, June. Mr. Armstrong wrote under the heading, Christ Puts the Church on Bible Form of Organization. He continues writing, "Brethren, the head of this church has now, through me, eliminated the office of executive vice president, which was an unscriptural office. Indeed, the title of vice president," and we finally came to have several of them, "went to the heads of too many and proved harmful to the work. Therefore, through me, the living Christ has abolished the worldly and secular title of vice president." And so my conclusion is, remember Christ's example was humility and service. He washed the disciples' feet. Even though he was the teacher, he was the Lord, he was the master. Bear in mind Paul's description of us in Corinthians. As I've said before, I'm overqualified for this job. I have all the qualities. I'm poor, I'm weak, and I'm foolish. We are not the creme de la creme. God chose to work with the scum of the earth. I wouldn't be here otherwise. We are called to serve, not to be served. Allow God to work and mould us so we can take our place in a government of perfection that will bring every blessing to those that they govern.